The Braves take 2 of 3 from the defending world champs, but end the series on a low note. However, there's a lot to be happy in Braves country. Travis d'Arnaud, with one of the most memorable weekends we've seen in a very long time of Braves baseball. Charlie Morton, Chris Sale, the old guys getting it done. From the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, this is the Braves Report, presented by Kroger, the podcast that takes you inside the clubhouse and gives you the stories behind the score. I'm Barrett Salee, hanging out in the heart of Braves country. Not a happy Braves country on this Monday morning because things did not go well on Sunday night. Braves had their opportunities, especially in that eighth inning, but the defending world champs are the defending world champs for a reason, as the Rangers take the finale at Truist Park. Is this your first time listening to us? Well, you know what? Welcome aboard, and make sure you follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And a reminder, make Mom's Day special with help from your local Kroger. Kroger can help you plan a brunch, mimosa bar, or a special floral arrangement with savings on flowers, candies, and everything in between. Shop in-store or online at your local Kroger, and don't forget a greeting card. Visit Kroger.com/Mother's Day. That's Kroger.com/Mother's Day. So we're going to go in reverse. We're going to start with Sunday night and the Braves 6-4 loss to the Rangers. And we're going to talk about the bad, and we're going to talk about the good. First things first, the Braves should have tied the game in the eighth inning. The Braves should have tied the game. Austin Riley should have struck out. The Braves got gifted 2 balls. And Austin Riley hits a little cue shot, rolls out a ball that's 53 miles an hour that finds a hole and scores a run. You have Adolis Garcia dropping a ball for no apparent reason whatsoever. You had a comedy of errors in that inning, and yet only 1 run crossed the plate. That's not something that can happen. If you're going to win, you cannot let stuff like that happen. And it's not normal for this Braves team to do something like that. It's not normal for the Braves to just fall flat on their face in clutch situations, because the Braves were accustomed to take advantage of that situation. The Braves that were accustomed to get a 3-run homer, get a 2-run double. But sometimes things just don't work. Sometimes a team's off, and I think it's fair to say that the Braves were off on Sunday night. Why? Well, in one of those instances in the eighth inning, you saw another Matt Olson strikeout. Olson is 1 for his last 20 over the past 6 games, struck out 4 times on Sunday night. In the past 12 games, he struck out 19 times and does not have a home run. So it begs the question, is something wrong? Is something wrong with Matt Olson? And I don't think it's time to panic just yet. Sure, there's concern. You don't want your monster, your home run hitter, the dude who has the most home runs in baseball since the start of the 2018 season. You don't want him going on a prolonged cold streak. But think about what's happened during that. The Braves have won series consistently. They went on a winning streak. They took 2 of 3 from the Rangers, took care of the Astros. Now, granted, we have not necessarily seen the best of either of those teams, but the Braves got it done without Matt Olson being what we know he can be. Why? Well, it coincided with Acuña sort of figuring things out, which certainly helps. But also that coincided with Ozzy getting hurt and going on the injured list. And we're going to talk a little bit about this team and how they've been successful with their stars on the shelf a little bit later in the show. But it goes to show you that this team is built in a way where you can have a superstar go as cold as ice and really nothing happens. Nothing changes. So is it time to worry about Matt Olson? No. Now, with that said, if we're going into the Guardian series next weekend, if he struggles against the Marlin, and I say Marlin because the plural of Marlin is Marlin, it's always bothered me. But if we're talking about this on Thursday, if we're talking about this Friday morning on the Braves Report, then yeah, it's probably time to worry about Matt Olson. But he does these things. This is kind of his thing, right? And also, like, when you have a monster like that, when you have a power hitter, yeah, you're going to go through prolonged stretches like this. It's going to happen. And it's in his DNA. So no, nothing to worry about. And look, I saw on X or Twitter or whatever we're calling it now, there were a lot of people asking that question. And it seemed like fans were generally concerned. Braves Twitter was generally concerned. Thankfully, I don't think X is real life, because I think cooler heads should prevail and recognize, hey, 1-for-20 sucks. It's not okay, but it's not the end of the world, and certainly not the end of the world for Matt Olson. Now, on Sunday, we did see the Big Bear get the 3-run home run. It's just par for the course, and we're not going to dig deep into Marcell Ozuna, because if you've listened to this show really since the beginning of the season, you know where my stance is on Marcell Ozuna. The dude should be the front runner for the MVP right now, and I know it's crazy to start talking about the MVP on April 22nd, but we're a month into the season, a month that last year couldn't have gone worse for Marcell Ozuna, and now it couldn't have gone better this month. And looking back, I know, you know, I hate doing this. I hate talking about COVID, you know, in terms of what you can take positively or negatively from a team, from a player, from whatever. But Marcell Ozuna almost won the Triple Crown during the COVID season. Freddie won MVP. Marcell Ozuna almost won the Triple Crown. Is he going to do that this year? No. But if we're talking about him finishing top five or even top 10 in all three of those categories, he's the MVP. And right now he's looking like he can do that. So another big night for Marcell on Sunday. But the most interesting part of this, on a, I would say a positive-ish note, was Darius Vines. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, oh, Darius Vines, you know, he didn't get the job done. Is he supposed to get the job done? Honestly, I ask yourself the question, is he supposed to get the job done? Because he's not even supposed to be here. It's like the clerk at the movie gallery in Clerks. He's not even supposed to be here today. I'm not supposed to be here today. Well, Darius Vines isn't supposed to be here. And yet he gives you 5 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned runs. That's enough to keep you in the game. And to me, it's enough to get Vines another start. Maybe 2 more starts. Because we've seen good and pretty darn solid in his first 2 starts. And out of your 5th starter, I don't care who you are. Under normal circumstances, if you have a 5-man rotation already set going into the season and nothing changes, what expectation do you have for your 5th starter? Give you a chance to win. Well, Darius Vines did that on Sunday night against the defending world champs. So I'm a glass half full guy. That's kind of my nature. I don't know. I try to look at the positive in everything. Maybe not very positive with Matt Olson yet. Yet I'm still hoping. But with Darius Vines, totally cool with his performance on Sunday night. Big stage, national TV audience. I don't think he cares. I mean, a lot of these guys don't even know. But still, to go out and do what he did, keep you in a game, go 5 strong. I mean, hell, the bullpen came in and screwed things up. It was Matzik. And I love him. But, you know, it's something to build off of for a guy in Darius Vines who just does not have overpowering stuff. And I'm not saying he's Greg Maddux, but he's a pitcher. He's not a thrower. He's a pitcher. And he showed that. And so I said, give him another couple starts, because Sunday was not his fault. He did everything that anybody should have asked for him to do. And so I'm happy with that. Sometimes the bats just don't work. Sometimes you don't come up clutch. And for Braves fans, myself included, I think it is sort of difficult at times to wrap your arms around the fact that, you know what, it's just not going to happen today. And it didn't happen on Sunday, but that's okay. We will recap Friday and Saturday. It's got big Friday and Saturday night games at Truist Park and the two wins over the Rangers. We'll recap them next from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. This is the Braves Report presented by Kroger.
What's so great about being a Kroger Boost member? Free delivery on the Kroger products you love and more rewards too, like double fuel points on everything you buy. Experience a new level of membership starting as low as $59 a year with Boost by Kroger Plus. Learn more at Kroger.com today.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hey, we've got an all-star offer for Braves Report listeners, and this deal, it's a steal. For a limited time, pay only $1.25 a week for the AJC's baseball season pass, and it'll be like you're inside the clubhouse from now through the World Series. You'll get all the latest on trade rumors, fantasy baseball, postseason predictions, and more. Enjoy exclusive offers, giveaways, and contests to show off your fandom. Plus, you'll get access to the AJC's essential journalism, premium podcasts, original videos, and more. Get details and subscribe now by going to AJC.com/BSP. That's AJC.com/BSP. Get ready for a great season. This deal is only available for new subscribers. So, the story for the weekend, and I think we all know where we're going with this one, is Lil D, Travis d'Arnaud. The story in Major League Baseball over the course of the weekend with the three-homer game, including the Grand Slam on Friday and then another big one on Saturday. These weren't just normal home runs either. Obviously, on Friday, you build a lead, and then you put the game to bed. You put the baby to bed with that grand slam. And no, he was upset he didn't get number four, but still, it was one of those weekends for d'Arnaud that he will remember forever. And yes, the one on Saturday, again, putting the game away. And we talk about this a lot, Braves fans, how this team has stars and has the ability to make clutch plays at key times, whether it's to win a game late or to put a game away late. They can do both. And it was Travis d'Arnaud who did just that on Friday and Saturday. And here is d'Arnaud about what was probably the most memorable weekend of his career.
Short swing, just single to right and got rewarded. Jay Bruce and a lot of guys here, home runs come in bunches. But the main thing is to keep it as simple as possible. So I'm going to stick with that.
And you know, his pitcher, Charlie Morton, probably liked that a little bit as well. Of course, Charlie Morton, pitcher on Saturday, was the beneficiary of that late d'Arnaud home run. And here is Uncle Charlie on his catcher.
I didn't see his reaction after the grand slam. The thing, though, that struck me was after the second homer yesterday, it was like perfect Travi, like beautiful swing, hits it, knows it's gone, crushes it, right? Up into the second tier there. And he just looked at it and he just put the bat down and ran. And it was like, it was just great. And it was like, that's just kind of him in a nutshell. You know, he's just great. So I'm really happy for him. And he also called a great game. It was a lot of fun to watch him play tonight. From my view,
you know, I don't think as Braves fans we recognize just how lucky we are to have catchers who willingly give up starting jobs. Like, you know, in the past you have a guy who starts four games and then gets the fifth day off, but really since the Braves moved into Truist Park, whether it was Tyler Flowers or Darnell and now Sean Murphy, it seems like they have two catchers who are selfless, who understand, hey, 130 games is a lot. You can't do 162. 130 is probably a little too much in this day and age. So if you have a true platoon, which is essentially what the Braves have had with Darnell and catcher X, now Sean Murphy, I think it boosts everybody because you can have a guy like Travis Darnell carry a team for a little while. You can have Sean Murphy carry a team for a little while. You can go with the hot hand and you don't have to worry about rushing Sean Murphy back or vice versa with what happened last year with Darnell early in the season. So having these two guys available and having Darnell, you know, sort of take a back seat. I wouldn't say take a back seat, but understand, hey, getting Sean Murphy last year and Sean Murphy signing a long-term contract is what's best for Sean Murphy, Travis Darnell, and the Atlanta Braves. Not many professional athletes would act like that. Not many professional athletes would say, yeah, you know what? I'd kind of like to be a starter. But I think Darnell, with just the kind of personality he has and just the kind of plight and path he's been on during his major league career, he's the perfect guy to take that responsibility, to be the guy who sort of by his actions become a leader. He doesn't have to say anything, although he absolutely keeps the clubhouse light, but he didn't have to say anything. Darnell, to me, might be the heart and soul of this team, even when he's not playing. Now, of course, a walk-off home run in the home opener and then the 3-home run game on Friday. And of course, what happened on Saturday, you know, that helps quite a bit. But without Darnell, I don't think this team operates the way it does. I don't think the clubhouse operates the way that it does. So we're lucky to have him. And I know he didn't get the start on Sunday, and it's kind of odd, you know, to say, hey, you know, you got a guy with a hot hand. But Snit knew going in that Trump was going to get the start. And I don't think it would be responsible for anybody involved to say, oh, well, we need to throw Darnell out there again just because he's got the hot bat. There's a bigger picture here. And I think all parties involved know it. And for Lil D to go out there and understand, hey, yeah, I'm hot, but my manager has the long term in his mind, I might as well go sit this one out. That says a lot about this clubhouse, says a lot about this this franchise, and says a lot about Brian Snicker with how he operates this thing from the top down. Big pitching performances were very interesting on Friday and Saturday because we don't really know. We know now that Fried's going to be the ace, right? He's shown, I think, that he can be the ace. We talked about this last episode, how he has kind of gone through every possible situation the season has thrown at him and seemed, to borrow a quote from Office Space, sort of fix the glitch. But we also need Chris Sale in his prime. We also need Charlie Morton in his prime. Those two guys to do what they've done throughout the course of their careers. And we got that this weekend with Chris Sale, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 strikeouts. Charlie Morton, 6 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 4 hits on Saturday. That's the kind of performances we need. If they do that, if you get just average back of the baseball card seasons from those two guys, then you're sitting pretty. Now, obviously, you do have to have Fried do what he does, and maybe Ronaldo Lopez has to take it up a notch, and it, from all accounts, he has in every single game that he's pitched this year. But to have Morton and Sale look like not just crafty veterans, but pitchers at their prime, it's enormous for a pitching staff that has been, you know, thrown a curveball, for lack of a better term, I guess pun very much intended. But here is Charlie Morton about on his performance on Saturday, as well as what Sale did on Friday.
I don't know. I mean, I think that they put together some good, really good at bats. I think that they hit a bunch of balls hard. You know, it was just, I think that, I don't know, around the third or fourth, we started to get into a little bit of a groove. We were mixing pretty well. And, you know, they put up a lot of balls in play, but tonight we got a lot of ground balls. So, Yeah, that's a good team. I mean, there's a couple guys over there that are some of my favorite ball players on both sides of the ball. So, I mean, that's a good team. And, you know, it is nice to go out there and get through six and feel like I did okay.
You know, two pitchers are only as good as their catcher. And it wasn't just Travis d'Arnaud at the plate on Friday and Saturday. It was Travis d'Arnaud behind the plate on Friday and Saturday. It's interesting, too. You talk to d'Arnaud, and we have a couple times this year already. And really, catchers are around the league. And it's not, I mean, even catchers in college and high school, it doesn't matter what they do at the plate. It feels like almost all of them take more pride in what they do with their pitcher, the performance that their pitcher has. And Travis d'Arnaud talked about Saturday night's performance by Charlie Morton as well as Chris Sales on Friday.
The way our starters have been, they kind of set the tone for this homestand, the first two games here. It's been huge to have two guys who want the ball for the last set of the World Series to start against the previous World Series champions. I think they were ready to go, and that showed today and yesterday.
You know, you're sitting here looking at this Braves team, and I don't know if complacent is the word that I have, but my feeling is, and really has been throughout the course of the entire season, is that, yeah, these Braves are doing what we thought they do, right? Like, this is Atlanta Braves baseball. This is how they're supposed to operate. But it kind of gets lost on me, and I think a lot of other people out there. I know, you know, it's out there in the back of their mind, but the Braves are doing this without three all-stars. It's a lot like what happened in 2021 in the middle of the season when Acuña goes down, and, you know, for a month and a half, they're just kind of spinning their wheels. Well, that's not the case now. That's not the case with this team. And, you know, you can have Marcell Ozuna, you know, pick things up. Michael Harris had a great Friday and Saturday night. He had a very, very good weekend. You know, there's always somebody that steps up. And I think that goes to show you just how good of a job AA has done with this roster, because people have bought in. And the insurance policies that are out there, not just a catcher, but also with the pitching staff, with what it is. And, you know, with d'Arnaud, you know, and doing what he does and taking a step back for Sean Murphy, and, you know, everything that's gone on with this team, you know, with Ozzie Albies, you know, having Guillorme come in and be, you know, sort of there in the background, ready to go as a utility infielder. AA has built this team in a way that it can withstand these injuries and really not miss a beat. Because honestly, I don't know what would be the difference if Strider, Albies, and or Sean Murphy were all three back. Would the Braves be better? Yes. Would the outcome really change all that much? No. They'd still be the best team in baseball. So it's been remarkable to see what they've done. And here is Brian Snitker on the injuries and how this team has just kept trucking right along.
Lost Ozzie the other day, Murph. I mean, you know, you lose three all-stars. That's like we talked about last night. They doesn't bother them. I mean, it's just kind of, no, it's part of what we go through, and just keep fighting. Those are really good teams, and but I kind of think we are too. So, like tonight, that's about as clean a game as you could see, and it's just a really well-played ball game by two really good teams. And that's good. You come out and win series against clubs like that, it's a good sign.
You know, you need your players to rely on stuff like this, though, right? You need your players to step up. You need leaders who have seen all of this. And we're talking about Chris Sale. We're talking about Charlie Morton. We're talking about d'Arnaud. I mean, these are guys who have been around the block two, three, four times. And so to put things in perspective, I think you have to have guys who have seen both sides of this. And Charlie Morton certainly is one of those guys. And here is Charlie Morton on the absence of three all-stars and what it means for this team.
And I was thinking about it too. I was thinking about how the playoff outcome can overshadow such a great season. And that's, I think, what happened. I think we had an absolutely phenomenal team last year. I think we've had a great team since I've been here, since 21. And I don't think that we should, I don't think we are letting that affect us in any way. I think it was just really a disappointing way to end the season, but I think the guys in that clubhouse are tremendous. They're tremendous people and they're tremendous ball players. I think that it's a, like I said, I keep saying, this really special place to be.
All right. Our good friend Gabe Burns over the AJC. He's been doing power rankings for a couple of weeks now, and it's not a full power ranking. You're not going 30 deep. And look, I've been at outlets where they want you to go 30 deep, 160 deep, or whatever, 134 deep for college football, whatever it is. 7-round mock NFL drafts, which is just stupid, right? That, there's no way that you can. Speaking of NFL draft, have you seen that? People are doing mock trades in NFL, mock NFL drafts. Like, what are we even doing here? I saw a mock draft with 5 mock trades. Like, that's just, come on. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But Gabe Burns put up his power rankings, his top 10. I don't think it's that much of a surprise that the Braves are number one. And that's not just because it's the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Gabe is there to cover the Braves. It's that the Braves are that good. So, no surprise there. But there's two teams that I want to talk about. One that I agree with and one that I disagree with. And that's okay, because in our business, sports are supposed to be fun and we can yell at each other and still be friends. And that's what's going to happen with Gabe after I tell him that he's wrong about one of his teams. But he is right about the Guardians. They're up 2 spots to number 4. And I know you're thinking, wow, are the Guardians that good? And the answer is yes. The Guardians are that good. Leading the Central. They are coming into town next weekend, and it is not a pushover. I know, like, a lot of times when you see these American League teams come in and you don't really know a lot about them, it's not the Yankees or the Rays or whoever, you Astros, you know who the big players are, the big contenders, the studs. And the Guardians are up there right now, and it's been really fascinating to watch and really dig in deep to what they've been doing. If you haven't watched Josh Naylor, do yourself a favor. Go on the Indians, or the Indians, the Guardians, Major League still. Like, even after the name change, I still revert back to the best movie of all time in Major League. But go to the Guardians website and just look at some Josh Naylor highlights. And it's just, he's a stud. But you dig deeper into this team, and there are a couple things that stand out. One thing is that they lead Major League Baseball in hit by pitch. With 21, 5 clear of everybody else. That might not seem like a big deal. It's a big deal. They are taking bases when and where they can. And when you coincide that with a slugger like Naylor, then that's always a good combo. But it's the pitching that has really led this team. And it's both the starting staff and it's a complete staff. The starting rotation and the bullpen. They're second in Major League Baseball in opponent's batting average at .218. They're third in expected batting average at .230. So it's not just luck. They're flat out dealing top to bottom. Top to bottom. So that's one thing the Braves, if the Braves bats go cold against the Guardians, it is lights out. It is a problem. It is a big, big problem. Now, we're not saying that the Braves bats will go cold, but ups and downs, and we've talked a little bit about some bats that have already gone cold earlier in this show, but it's not just those two either. Fourth in strikeouts at .209, and the Braves are a strikeout team. The Braves are, what, 13th, I believe, heading into Sunday's action in strikeouts, so they're a middle-of-the-pack team, and if you've got a team that can deal like the Guardians, you could be in big, big trouble, and they allow soft contact. That, to me, is the most concerning part when they come into town. And the biggest reason, in my opinion, why they're number 4 in Gabe's power rankings and one of the best teams in baseball that a lot of people don't even know about. 4.2%. 4.2% in barrel percentage. That is just, you rattling off all of those stats kind of makes my head spin. Like, dang, they have every single possible angle covered in terms of pitching. So the Guardians, to me, Gabe got them right. And people, you can y'all can go read the story on AJC.com. I urge you to do that to see the rest. But at first, it kind of jumped like, what's wrong with Gabe? What's he doing? But then you look, you're like, yeah, dang, the Guardians are good. The Yankees, though, at number two, Gabe, I got to disagree with you a little bit. Now, are the Yankees potentially the second best team in Major League Baseball? Absolutely. They are 100% in a position where they can be the second best team in Major League Baseball, but they're not right now. Primarily because some of their stars are just flat out struggling this year. Aaron Judge at .183, Giancarlo Stanton at .227. Really, the driving force behind this team has been Juan Soto. And he's just over 300. He's still getting his home runs. I mean, that's what Juan Soto does. Still gets on base. But they're not hitting anywhere close to what they should be hitting, especially at a hitter's ballpark, which is what Yankee Stadium is. 17th in team batting average at .239. 23rd in batting average for balls in play at .281. Those aren't elite numbers. Those aren't numbers that earn you accolades. Those are numbers to me that say, yeah, you're kind of mediocre. So, but with these power rankings, and Gabe mentions this, and I think it's the way you're supposed to do these, is that you kind of mix it, you kind of mix in potential with reality, right? And potentially these Yankees could be great. But right now, to me, I just think this is a team that's still trying to find its identity, that is trying to work out its pitching situation. Obviously, injuries at the start of the season didn't help. And spinning its wheels a little bit. And that's okay. Hell, the Braves did that in 2021 for like 4 months. So we've seen teams do that before. But power rankings are meant to cause drama. They're meant to cause people to yell at each other. They're meant to have some fun. Because, hey, you know, sports are supposed to be fun. So go check those out. Go check out Gabe Burns' power rankings on AJC.com. I believe they went up Sunday morning. Might have been Saturday morning. But they're up there now. You can read them over at AJC.com. That'll do it for this edition of the Braves Report. Really appreciate you guys listening. Please give us a 5-star review. Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Let us know what you like. Hey, and you know what? If you don't like stuff that we're doing, give us a review too. Constructive criticism is always good. It's okay if you have some input and think we could do something better. I want to hear it. The whole staff here at AJC.com wants to hear it as well. Until Wednesday, have a great early part of the week, everybody. We'll talk to you then.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.